Hey, y'all, Scott here. I think you ought to consider subscribing to The Future of Freedom, the journal of the Future Freedom Foundation, in print or online. The Future of Freedom features the best writers in the libertarian movement, the fearless Jacob Hornberger, individualist anarchist Sheldon Richman, and crusading journalist Jim Bovard, along with Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, Tim Kelly, Richard Ebling, and many more. And the July issue features one by your favorite radio host on America's Middle East policy, entitled Stupidity or the Plan. So head on over to fff.org/subscribe and sign up for The Future of Freedom in print or online. That's fff.org/subscribe and tell them Scott sent you.
All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton, and this is my show, The Scott Horton Show. Keep my full interview archives at scotthorton.org. You can find them all, more than 2,900 of them going back to 2003 there at scotthorton.org. And you can also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at /Scott Horton Show. One more time, I'll remind you, we're doing a little bit of a somewhat of a mini major fun drive thing here. If you like the show and you want to donate to it, just go to scotthorton.org/donate. All right, thanks a lot. Next up is our good friend Adam Morrow, reporter for Interpress Service. That's ipsnews.net, living in Cairo, and today's Friday, Pray Outside Day. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Good, Scott.
Good. I appreciate you joining us. And now it really matters that everybody goes and prays outside on Friday, because that means that whenever prayers are done, everybody is already ready to have a fight or to have a peaceful kumbaya drum circle or whatever it is they're going to do. It's pretty much on every Friday in Cairo these days. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this Friday is certainly no exception. And in fact, it's kind of seen as a culmination to the last, you know, to everything that's happened over the course of the last month since Morsi was ousted by the military in a military coup. We've had basically 4 weeks of sustained sit-ins and demonstrations by Morsi supporters that have been in the hundreds of thousands, with two main protest venues in Cairo and a lot of other protest activity going on outside of Cairo in the governorates. But it's unfortunately it's extremely difficult to gauge the size of these this pro-Morsi activity because the media is so complicit right now in what's going on. There are only two or three channels that are actually covering the pro-Morsi stuff. The most prominent of which is Al Jazeera, which I believe that has been jammed for the last couple of weeks. I think the military is jamming their signal, so it's difficult to get even that. I know the Hamas channel, which is the Al Quds channel, is covering it, so you can get an idea of its size from that. But it's crazy. It's really crazy. And things have come to a head today where you've got two massive, you know, two rival protest calls. Right now, Tahrir, I live just two or three blocks away from Tahrir, and I just walked through there just an hour ago, and I can tell you it was standing room only. It was absolutely packed, and these are people that are basically in support of the military coup, and who are calling for Morsi and the Brotherhood to be prosecuted and all of this sort of stuff. And you've got two other protests going on as well that are being staged by Morsi's supporters. But like I said, those are getting much less press, and it's very difficult to gauge their size. Although they're massive, they're said to be unprecedented in size.
Yeah. Well, now, so, you know, libertarian critics of democracy like to point out that the most basic definition is just majority rules, and that's not any way to run a society. Whoever can cobble together 51% can lord it over everybody else. So,
this is just a perfect example. Huh? What we're seeing right now is a perfect example of this idea of democracy being, you know, being basically a sort of glorified mob rule. That's exactly what we've got right now. And the whole thing is perfectly exemplified by, 2 days ago, if you remember, I'm sure you saw this, General Abdel Fattah Sisi, who's the defense minister and basically the military, the military commander in chief, the armed forces commander in chief right now, basically came out, and the de facto ruler of the country, basically came out 2 days ago and urged Egyptians to hit the streets again, to basically put the Islamists in their place, to do another June 3rd, to have like a June 30 redux, and basically in order to, the way he phrased it was to give him a mandate, was to basically provide him with a popular mandate to fight terror. to wage this his war, to wage a war on terrorism, which is incredibly remarkable language, in that the Islamist protests until now have been entirely peaceful.
Oh man, so wait a minute, he's characterizing the whole movement to support the Muslim Brotherhood as terrorism against the Egyptian state at this point?
Yep. I mean, absolutely, explicitly. Yeah, absolutely, explicitly. And the Tamarid movement, which has gotten so much press, you know, this was the signature campaign that basically spearheaded the calls for the June 30 protests that led to Morsi's ouster. Basically, this Tamarid campaign is coming out and saying, look, you know, we support El-Sisi's call for protests. We urge Egyptians to go down on the street in order to show their support for the armed forces, for the police, and to show support for them in their coming war against terror. So the language that's coming out of these people, I mean, basically we have the installation of a perfect definition of a fascist dictatorship, where you've got this meeting between a big business and the military, and then you've got this media that's entirely owned by the former. That's played such a big role in everything that's going on. And it's basically what you're seeing now is basically the reversal of the January 25th revolution. You basically have Tahrir Square now has become a symbol of, you know, military sort of authoritarianism. 2 years after it was a symbol of, you know, it was a symbol of liberation and national unity and all of that stuff. I mean, from what I can tell, the Mubarak regime has basically recaptured Tahrir Square now, and is now actually riding what it sees as a popular mandate, because of the numbers that they managed to mobilize recent protests, including the ones today.
Amazing. Now, see, the thing
is, it's a dark day.
Now, liberal democracy is supposed to also include respect for individual and minority rights and a free press and an independent judiciary, right? People throw the word democracy around. It's supposed to include a lot of these things, including regular elections where if you lose last time, better luck next time.
Exactly.
I'm not necessarily promoting this as the ultimate, end of history system of how mankind should operate or anything, but it sure seems a hell of a lot better than a military dictatorship.
Exactly.
But what we have here is the mob is demanding military dictatorship to protect them from the people who won a bare majority in the elections.
Yeah, and it wasn't even just a bare majority in the it was a narrow margin in the presidential election. It was 51-52%. But the parliamentary election, again, you have people forget about the parliamentary elections, and the parliament also was unilaterally dissolved by the military about a year ago. But that was 75% Islamist. So there definitely is an Islamist majority. But that being said, you know, the damage they've managed to do with the media that got left in place when Morsi assumed control. I mean, we talked about this last time. He barely scratched the surface in terms of getting at the deep state. I mean, he basically the Mubarak era judiciary is all entirely intact. The Mubarak era police apparatus is entirely intact. The military obviously is entirely intact. The private media, which is owned almost exclusively by wealthy business people who are closely affiliated with Mubarak, was all left entirely attacked to pump out its poison. Mm-hmm. And now the state, what's interesting is the state media has overnight reverted to its old ways. Just, do you know what I mean? There was no resistance. As soon as Morsi was taken out of the equation, it immediately reverted back and is now in totally pro CC, pro military, pro all of this authoritarianism that's going on right now.
Well, you know, that's it. Adam, that's exactly what Eric Margulies said, too, that for all the criticism against the Muslim Brotherhood for, you know, going for broke and trying to usurp all this power, there was the outward appearance of cronyism because of putting a Muslim Brotherhood guy in this and that position. But when it came to actually cleaning house and turning out the old regime, they were terrified, as he put it, of their own shadow, afraid to move at all. And then, as you've been explaining, the state refused to follow their direction. The police wouldn't even go out on the street for a year.
Exactly. For which Morsi took the blame, and everybody blamed Morsi for the big security vacuum. But it's it's definitely something to bear in mind that they all these Mubarak era institutions remain fully intact. And it's strange how he I just wanted to say this idea of this brotherhood authoritarianism or all of the, these power grabs, or that they were trying to they were undemocratic, or they were trying to monopolize power. It was called the brotherhoodization of the state was a big mantra that was repeated ad infinitum over the last year. I think that was vastly overblown. I think there was a lot of exaggeration in that. And I think basically anytime Morsi tried to basically replace Mubarak era people with new blood, I think that all of that was immediately accused of being brotherhoodization. Even if it wasn't necessarily a brotherhood people, they'd say, oh, but yeah, but this new appointment is sympathetic to the brotherhood. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like they just sort of used that. It was an operation, you know?
Well, now here's the thing too, Adam, is, and this is just my own personal bias or whatever. It may not have anything to do with anything, I guess, but to me, the Muslim Brotherhood, they're Islamists, but they're conservatives, right? They're not like Ayman al-Zawahiri and the suicide bomber brigade of radical, basically Islamist-Leninists in a way, right?
Oh, yeah,
they're
the
conservatives. So
brand.
To me, I equate them basically to like Pat Robertson and the hardcore Republican, acceptable to the Republicans, but the religious conservative right here in America. And I hate those guys. And if America was taken over by Pat Robertson and the faction, you could point to, yeah, but a lot of people support them. And my answer would be, oh, man, but those people should go to hell and they should take Pat Robertson with them. And so in this case, and I'm sure my analogy's terrible, but in this case, man, I really do side with the people who wanted to see the Muslim Brotherhood gone. I would hate to be ruled by the Muslim Brotherhood. And I'm not saying that the current regime is better, but why is it that the liberals are willing to go back to the Mubarakists? It's not like the liberals are winning out here. The old regime is winning out here, as you say, but the liberals are out there in Tahrir Square by the thousands, maybe more, chanting and cheering.
Well, what's interesting is the Sisi's appeal 2 days ago for people to sort of hit the streets and support the army and the police in their coming war on terror and violence and all of this thing was definitely a watershed. I think a lot of people sort of realized, thinking people whose ability to think critically is still intact, those people realized that that something was deeply wrong. I mean, why does this guy have to seek a public mandate in the form of mass protests? I mean, they have a vice president, they have an interim president, they have a prime minister, they have a deputy prime minister. Why would this? It really showed that he is in fact remains the de facto ruler of the country, and that there is this idea that there's a civilian government in place is entirely window dressing, is entirely superficial. So what's interesting is you are starting to hear about certain people that would have cast themselves as leftists or revolutionaries who are now showing up at the Brotherhood, who are now showing up at the pro-Morsi demonstrations, who sort of realized they were happy to see Morsi go. But they're only now are they starting to realize, especially after Sisi's statements 2 days ago, that what happened was a counter-revolution. I mean, there's no getting around this. The old regime is back, and it's back with a vengeance, and it's back with what it perceives to be a popular mandate now, which has made it only all that more aggressive. I mean, look at what they did from the very get-go, closing all of the Islamist stations in one fell swoop. And then jailing all of the leaders of the, or jailing all of these leading Islamists and high-ranking Brotherhood members. I mean, Morsi is nobody knows where he is. And in fact, I wanted to say this is an important point. This is something that just came up today. He's apparently been charged. He's now been detained for this 15-day period pending investigation into charges that he was spying for Hamas. I mean, this is the latest accusation.
Al Jazeera's crawl right now says he's accused of contacting Hamas to help him escape from prison.
In 2011, during the 2011 revolution, exactly.
Ah, oh, okay. Well, yeah, I got on mute because I'm listening to you instead. But, yeah, well,
I mean, this is something that's been that was celebrated, the fact that these political prisoners managed to escape from Mubarak's prisons in 2011. That was something until recently was celebrated and was seen as something cool, you know?
And now they don't mind charging him with that as his criminal offense that they have against him. That's interesting.
Now we're seeing a recriminalization. Now we're seeing after they briefly held a majority in parliament and held the presidency, we're now seeing this group about to be recriminalized.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you the repercussions that has. You know, the people I feel most sorry for in all of this are actually the people of Gaza, who after Morsi's election were really looking forward to a new period of they thought the siege was going to be lifted. They thought that they were going to finally be able to breathe.
Yeah,
that there was finally going to be some let up to this siege that's been going on, and it's now 7 or 8 years that they've been the world's largest open air prison, and now they're looking at this and just thinking, my God, and it's not just that Morsi's been taken out of the equation and the Brotherhood has been taken out of the equation or is at risk of being taken out of the equation, but there's a real scary anti-Palestinian and specifically anti-resistance aspect to all the stuff that's going on in Egypt now, where you have people saying, one of the common lies that's being pumped out by the media about Morsi is that, one reason why we had these fuel crises was because Morsi was secretly sending all of our fuel to the Gaza Strip. You know, and it's created crazy stuff like this, or that Hamas was responsible for the death of 16 Egyptian soldiers, if you remember that, last August of last year.
Well, I'm more to the point on the fuel one. In other words, ridiculous, impossible accusations.
Oh, ridiculous, ridiculous. I mean, the Hamas accusation about killing the soldiers is equally ridiculous because they would have nothing to gain and everything to lose by doing something like that. Yeah. I mean, they were just about to open the border when that attack occurred, and that attack basically resulted in the border to be reclosed, closed again. So you've got this very scary. You also have a lot of insight. In this complicit media, you've got a lot of incitement against Palestinians now, especially Palestinians from Gaza, and you also have incitements against Syrians now as well, because they're saying that Syrian refugees in Egypt, because you have the Muslim Brotherhood is fighting against in Syria is fighting against is a big component of the opposition to Assad. You've got now you have people here saying that you've got these Syrian refugees in Egypt that are joining the pro-Morsi protests. So you're actually seeing, if you're hearing about attacks, just random attacks on Palestinians and Syrians now that are totally the result of this incitement that's coming out of the media. So it's just very, very scary. It's just very, very scary times, and it very, very puts Hamas and the whole notion of sort of resistance to Israel in a very, very tenuous position now.
Well, and look, that's the key to this whole thing, is that this is what Israel wants. This is an American operation. Remember, half a year ago, the beginning of this year, Adam, Philip Giraldi, former CIA officer, was saying that he was hearing from CIA that Saudi and Qatar were financing these mobs to go out there and cause trouble, not just protest, but make a mess out of it, break things and fight people and whatever in their protests in order to try
sense.
To bring down to weaken Morsi.
I don't know if it would be Qatar that would do it, because Qatar has a weird relationship, even though it is.
Well, I guess he said Saudi. Did I say?
I think I
mixed up the Qatar accusation there. I think he was just saying Saudis, right? When we talked about this half a year ago.
Saudi and the Emirates, Saudi and the United Arab Emirates are the two that are basically have made no secret of their antipathy towards the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, these are American sock puppet states, and it's not really to me. If Obama didn't order them to do it, he at least didn't tell them to stop, which makes it either way kind of a, de facto his responsibility. And as Eric Margolies put it on the show, the Egyptian military is just part of the American military. You might as well just consider it a division of the American Pentagon, simple as that. So if they did this, it's because Obama told them to do it, because the U.S. military told them to do it. No doubt about
it. Right. And did you notice just today, actually, I think Obama said decisively that it wasn't a coup. I think he came out and finally said, we don't consider this a...
I actually usually don't listen to the things he says. I try to look at what he does.
Neither do I. I just
happen
to see it in a headline somewhere.
His lips moving. But, yeah, it could be. I mean, obviously, they're not calling up on the hotline and saying, how dare you cancel democracy?
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's sort of like Madeleine Albright in 98 going, oh, yeah, we're very concerned about this coup in Pakistan. Yeah, sure you are.
Right. What's weird is you also have Qatar, which is no less of a sock puppet. I mean, that's for sure. But they do support the Brotherhood. And, I have to say, Gezira has done a really, really good job. I mean, it's constantly accused of being biased here. I mean, you get a lot of people here who hate Gezira because they say it's biased towards the Muslim Brotherhood. When actually, I mean, all it's doing is cover. It's like the only channel that's actually covering any of the pro-Morsi stuff.
Yeah. So has there been much of a change on Al Jazeera since the father got kicked upstairs and the son took power over there?
That's a very good question. Now, I had kind of thought that we would see something like that because when Morsi was first ousted, and that was almost a month ago, that was on the 3rd of this month, when he was first ousted, Qatar sort of sold him down the river very quickly. Qatar didn't really object and sort of sent congratulations to Egypt's new rulers, which I thought was very, very strange. And I think that was only just a matter of days after the transition of power there. So that is a good question. I haven't noticed anything on Gezira. I've been focusing exclusively on the Egypt coverage, and that has remained the same. And it's been very intensive coverage of events in Egypt. But like I said, it's incredible that I'm assuming that it's the military. I don't know who else would do it, but all the Gezira channels, including normal Arabic Gezira, and then also English Gezira, and then also Gezira Mubasher, which is their live. They have a live channel that's devoted exclusively to Egypt coverage, and it's they get a lot of good live coverage. All of these are being scrambled. All of these are being scrambled, especially when you see when pro-Morsi demonstrations and marches and this sort of thing are being shown. They immediately scramble the images. In fact, I saw an interview with four people. They had a pro-Morsi guy here and an anti-Morsi guy here, and then they had a Hamas guy and they had a Fatah guy, all in one sort of roundtable interview. And whenever the Hamas guy spoke, I noticed the image would suddenly scramble. I don't know. Maybe that was just coincidence, but the role that the media is playing in all of this is really, I mean, it's really in your face. It's really, really shocking how obviously they're just they're trying to isolate these people. I mean, these people who, like you said, won a majority. I mean, what are these people's crime really? Is that they won five elections since the revolution?
Well, you told me, right before the most recent bout of protests started back up again, that look, if they held, or maybe right when it was starting back up again, we're talking a month ago or something,
if
they held snap elections, the Muslim Brotherhood would win again. That's why everybody's so pissed off out in the square, is because they can't win by voting.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is
which,
kind
and
of,
they got the right,
the
by the way, because I'm an individualist. I don't think that a bare majority qualifies anybody to rule anybody. But at least, that's the point. Being they really do have support from great numbers of regular Egyptian people, who, especially people who aren't necessarily tied to some special interest of the states or another.
Now, that I think that was the case in the immediate wake of the revolution. I think the media has managed to put a major dent, though, in the support they have. I think the last 2 years of non-stop propaganda and incitement against the Muslim Brotherhood in particular and Islamists in general by the media, which has been 24/7. And Scott, let me tell you, I've got interesting personal anecdotes where I've actually seen how the media will work on people. I've got this this barber that I go to once a week, right, just to get a shave with a straight razor, just for kicks. And every time I walk into this guy, he's the nicest guy. He's an old man, very, very, very funny, very lovable old guy. And yet every time I walk into his little barbershop, he's got these same channels, these rabidly anti-Islamist channels that are run by Naguib Soueris and other big businessmen that were all very closely connected with Mubarak. In fact, Soueris admitted that he had financed the Tamarid, covertly financed the Tamarid movement. But so whenever I go into this guy's barbershop, it's like, and he's always got it on peak volume. I don't know if he's hard of hearing, but he's always got this hardcore, rabid, anti-Islamist propaganda blasting at him all the time, like every waking hour. And I remember asking him kind of early on what he thought of Morsi and stuff, and he just gave me, it just went into this long rant, this poisonous rant of, you know, how much he hated Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's, you know, I can see it. That's because people are just being bombarded. They're just being bombarded by these television channels. Morsi tried to clean up. There were often cries. One of the demands of protesters, Islamist protesters for a long time, was purge of the media, because they knew the toll that it was taking in their standing, you know, in their popular standing on the street, because people really don't realize that if you've got the media at your beck and call, you can, how incredibly easy it is. To change public opinion. And if you've got that going for 1 year, 2 years, I mean, you're going to lose like 30%, 40% of your base to that sort of stuff. And again, most of this stuff was lies, you know? A lot of this stuff was, the Morsi made mistakes that they capitalized on, but a lot of this stuff was crazy lies like, oh, the Muslim Brotherhood is going to sell the Suez Canal to Qatar. You know, Morsi is going to rent the pyramids, you know, to rich Saudis, you know,
Fox News. Yeah, I get it.
Crazy talk, and then you talk to average Egyptians, you talk to Egyptian taxi drivers and stuff about this stuff, and they repeat the same stuff to you, these same ludicrous accusations with absolutely no basis in fact. Most of them have been utterly discredited, and yet you'd be amazed at how many people will actually buy into this stuff. Maybe, like you said, you can make the same case for Fox News and the American public. I don't know.
Well, but not
again,
just
people
them.
People cannot underestimate the power of the media.
Yeah. No, well, you know, it's one big empire, and I think Egyptian and American society reflect each other in a lot of ways, probably more ways than either side would like to admit. But
well, one quick point I just want to make. One of the saddest things about all of this that we're seeing now is the whole bullshit war on terrorism thing that we were introduced to under Bush, the whole crazy, you know, war on terrorism thing, which was very much a neoconservative invention, is now here in Egypt, is now in a Muslim country. You now have the same Islamophobia, the same talk of war on terror coming out of Egyptians, and they're supporting it. They're buying into it, even though the Islamist, what is now the opposition, has been entirely peaceful up until now, and there's still talk about this looming war on terror and a popular mandate for taking the battle to the terrorists, which is, it's really, really depressing.
It's amazing, too, in a way, how good they've gotten at doing this. All right. Hey, thanks so much, Adam. Great to talk to you again.
Sure, Scott.
Everybody, that's Adam Morrow, IPSnews.net. And Nathan Fuller's going to be on the KPFK show tonight.
Hey, y'all. Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager whose site is unique on the web. Subscribers are allowed a window into Mike's very real main account and receive announcements and explanations for all his market moves. The Federal Reserve has been inflating the money supply to finance the bank bailouts and terror war overseas. So Mike's betting on commodities, mining stocks, European markets, and other hedges against our depreciating dollar. Play along on paper or with real money, and then be your own judge of Mike's investment strategies. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com.
Oh, man, I'm late. Sure hope I can make my flight.
Stand there.
Me? I am standing here.
Come here.
Okay.
Hands up, turn around.
Whoa, easy.
Into the scanner. Ooh, what's this in your pants?
Hey, slow down. It's just my...
Hold it right there. Your wallet has tripped the metal detector. What's this? The Bill of Rights?
That's right. It's just a harmless stainless steel business card-sized copy of the Bill of Rights from SecurityEdition.com. They're for exposing the TSA as a bunch of liberty-destroying goons who've never protected anyone from anything. Sir, now give me back my wallet and get out of my way. Got a plane to catch.
Have a nice day.
Play a leading role in the security theater with the Bill of Rights Security Edition from SecurityEdition.com. It's the size of a business card, so it fits right in your wallet, and it's guaranteed to trip the metal detectors wherever the police state goes. That's SecurityEdition.com. And don't forget their great Fourth Amendment socks.
Hey guys, I got his laptop.
So you're a libertarian, and you don't believe the propaganda about government awesomeness you were subjected to in fourth grade. You want real history and economics. Well, learn in your car from professors you can trust with Tom Woods' Liberty Classroom. And if you join through the Liberty Classroom link at scotthorton.org, we'll make a donation to support the Scott Horton Show. Liberty Classroom, the history and economics they didn't teach you.
Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new project, Listen and Think Audio at listenandthink.com. They've got two new audiobooks read by the deepest voice in libertarianism, the great historian Jeff Riggenbach. Our Last Hope, Rediscovering the Lost Path to Liberty by Michael Meharry of the 10th Amendment Center is available now. And Beyond Democracy, co-authored by Frank Karsten of the Mises Institute Netherlands and journalist Carl Beckman, will be released this month. And they're only just getting started. So check out listenandthink.com. You may be able to get your first audiobook absolutely free. That's Listen and Think Audio at listenandthink.com. Hey, all, Scott here, hawking stickers for the back of your truck. They've got some great ones at libertystickers.com. Get your son killed, Jeb Bush, 2016. FDR, no longer the worst president in American history. The National Security Agency, blackmailing your congressman since 1952. And USA, sometimes we back Al-Qaeda, sometimes we don't. And there's over 1,000 other great ones on the wars, police state, elections, the Federal Reserve, and more at libertystickers.com. They'll take care of all your custom printing for your band or your business at thebumpersticker.com. Libertystickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.